Good morning, everybody. I am Pastor Jeremiah, called Pastor Jay. I am from the East Campus. We are continuing our sermon series, Fresh Eyes. So if you have your Bibles, please turn it to Matthew chapter 2, starting in verse 1 all the way to verse 12. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, magi, or wise men, from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who's been born king of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem, in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means the least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will be shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." After they heard the king, they went on the way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. And then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to the country by another route. Let's pray together. Dear Lord, thank you for this Christmas season. Thank you for showing these wise men, these mysterious people, the good news of your son Jesus through a star. Show us a sign today, Lord, of who you are, how much you love us, and also perhaps answers maybe to the questions that we are facing. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. We are doing our Fresh Eyes series where we are looking at the stories of Christmas, the old familiar ones. Anybody heard this story before? Okay. Anybody not hear this story before about the wise men? Okay, so it's a familiar story. We're going back to those old classic stories and trying to look at it with fresh eyes. We looked at the story of Mary, the story of the shepherds. Next week, Pastor Victor's coming back to do the story of Joseph. And today we are doing the story of the wise men or the magi. And today we're going to look at the topic is, show me a sign. Show me a sign. Now, as a kid, you probably had a lot of questions about, or during Christmas, such as, you know, what are you going to get for Christmas? What's under the tree? Or how many snow days off are you going to get off school during December? Hopefully that blizzard hits again. Or maybe you're hoping and wondering whether your aunts will get you a knitted sock, or something that kids actually really like. One of my questions during Christmas as a kid was Santa Claus real? No. Any kids here? Okay, good. No spoiler alerts yet. Okay. My parents aren't from Canada, and they never grew up with Santa Claus. So when we were growing up, they told us, by the way, Jeremiah, Santa Claus isn't real. I was like, okay, whatever. But then I went to school, and I was like, it was like, Santa Claus. I'm like, oh, Santa isn't real. You didn't know that? What? Heretic! Burn him! Oh! They were freaking out. And every day during Christmas was a struggle. I'm like, oh, there goes the denier. There goes the heretic. I'm like, Santa Claus isn't real. And I get arguments all day with these kids. I'm like, he's not real. And I'm like, they were like, I heard him on the roof one day. No, it's probably your dad. Or I heard like reindeer on the roof. No. Oh. I had my doubts. It was hard. Whenever it was against you, it was hard to stand firm. And then one day during play school, I had to meet Santa Claus. And I was like, oh my, this is it. This is it. And I remember the lineup, and there's Santa Claus, ho, 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 like, ha, 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 I'm going to get you. I'm going to get you good. I was like, is that beard real? I can't tell. And I remember sitting on his lap, oh, what do you want for Christmas, dear little boy? I'm like, I don't want anything from you, liar. And I pulled his beard, and the teacher grabbed me, get away. In that moment, I knew for certain Santa Claus was a liar. I knew. We all have questions during Christmas time. But as you get older, your questions kind of shift. Rather than wondering what's under the tree, you're wondering how you're going to pay for what's under the tree. Rather than, what you're going to get, you're wondering, I wonder how we can, how our family's going to get together, how they're going to stay together in the long run with all these changes. One of the biggest questions for me is, where am I going to find parking at the mall during Christmas? Anybody else? That's the worst. But then as we think about life and Christmas, our questions get even bigger. Like, why am I here? Who am I? Is this as good as it gets? And if there was a God, why do I feel the way that I do? Today's text kind of goes right at the heart of these questions about life that we have. The wise men were faced with these big questions and risked a long journey to try to find answers. They left everything for something or someone. And here's what I wanted to do today. I want to look at two different ways of looking for the big answers of life. We can look for answers like King Herod, or we can look at answers like the wise men. And then I want to turn to the baby Jesus. And here's what I want you to know and think about today. Maybe the answer to your deepest questions isn't something, but someone. It's not something, but someone. Sometimes when we are looking for answers, we settle for something. When we answer the big questions in life, like why am I here, we settle for things. To get a job, to find a spouse, to get good grades at school, to immigrate to a better country, to provide for our family. These are good answers, but what if God has something better, something grander and more wonderful than something? God wants to give you something more this Christmas season. God wants to give you someone, a child born in a little town. First, though, let's look at these two characters in the story that we find, which are very different. There's Herod, and there's the wise man. Herod was searching for something, while the wise men were searching for someone. Here's what I mean. King Herod was searching for something. King Herod at this time was considered the king of the Jews because he was a governor of a powerful Roman Empire, and he ruled a large area that included modern-day Israel, Palestine, Lebanon, Jordan, and Syria. This is a picture of Herod, one of my favorite Christmas stories, the Nativity story. It's a great, great movie. He was a very powerful ruler, and Herod's answer to the question, who am I, would be quick. I am king of the Jews. And Herod's purpose in life was to maintain his status and power and self-worth as king at all costs, even to the point of murder. One of the Roman empires or emperors of the time said, I would rather be Herod's sow or his pig than Herod's son, because he was known for killing two of his sons to maintain his power and a lot of his relatives. He also killed one of his wives, and when he killed her, he was so obsessed with her, he took her body and put her body into this huge jar of honey and kept it in his bedroom. Also, he was worried that nobody would mourn for his death, so he imprisoned a whole bunch of rabbis or Jewish religious leaders in a dungeon with the order of, on the day he died, kill all these men so that somebody would mourn on the day of his death. He was a very paranoid, very twisted man. He was searching for and had his answer in something. His answer was power, status, king. That was the answer to his deepest question. Now, this might make the story a little more sense. Some wise men came to Herod's kingdom and were asking, oh, where is the new king of the Jews? We want to worship him. We're excited. When Herod hears this, he is disturbed. Another translation, but he was terrified. The word in Greek actually means to render anxious or distressed, to perplex the mind, suggesting doubt. Herod was probably thinking, another king of the Jews? What? I am king of the Jews. This news challenged Herod's something. The answer which gave him security and purpose and meaning. He was the king. And the story also says Jerusalem was also terrified with him. And it probably wasn't because they were empathetic of Herod's situation, but they were probably freaking out, afraid of what Herod is going to do. Will he kill these wise men and provoke a war with their nation, or something worse? And as we see later in the chapter, the wise men dupe Herod. Herod tells them, oh yeah, please, you know, find the baby and send word so I can go and worship the baby. But in reality, he was going to kill the baby. And because of the dream, the wise men, after they find Jesus, they actually go a different way and don't tell Herod. And as a result, Herod, in his fury, kills all the boys in the town of Bethlehem where Jesus was to make sure that that king of the Jews was killed. Herod searched for something in order to give meaning to his life and to provide an answer to his deepest question. And Herod searching for something causes him to harm someone. Seeking after something to answer our questions might cause us to sacrifice someone. Now, Herod is kind of an extreme example, but let me ask you some questions. What is your something? What is the answer to your deepest question which you are striving for? When we seek after things which are second best to God's plan, we may end up hurting someone. What is your something? Are you going after power, status, fame, financial security, satisfaction, new experiences? Are you looking to fit in and be accepted? These are all good things, but they are not the answer to our deepest questions. Seeking after something to answer your questions might cause us to sacrifice someone. When you're going to your Christmas parties at work today, and when you're going to maybe meet someone you don't really know, you usually go, hey, my name is Jeremiah. What's the next question people usually ask? What do you do? One of the answers to our deepest questions, who am I, is another question, what do you do? Who you are is your work. And I, to be honest, struggle with being a workaholic. I love my work here at the church and at the Mustard Seed downtown. And I work a lot. It gives me life. It's almost my identity. It's who I am. The problem is, if that becomes my primary answer to the question, who am I, my relationships get hurt. I spend less time with my wife to meet her needs and to be part of her life. And also my friends. I don't build a lasting relationship with my friends if all I do is work and work and work. And the same thing here. Work is a great thing, but when it becomes the answer to your questions, it can be harmful to those you love, and it can cause us to sacrifice the most important relationship in our lives. Herod looks for this something, but the wise men, they look for someone. Let's go to the character of the wise men now. First, What do you know about these visitors? It's more of a question of what we do not know. Since we're in a trivia style mode, how many wise men were there? Anybody? Three is wrong. Nobody knows. We say three because there's three gifts they give, but it could have been two, it could have been four, it could have been 50. Nobody really knows. Another stumper. How many days old was Jesus when the wise men visited him? Three days? Year. Good. Most people have, we got the shepherds and the wise men together at the birth of Jesus, but in reality, it was probably 1 or 2 years after that the wise men came. So if you have your nativity scene, you could put the wise men there, but maybe put the magi on your TV or something. They're coming. They're on the journey, but not there yet. And also, we don't know where the wise men are from. Some say Persia, Yemen, India, Babylon. Others say China, maybe Korea. We don't know. Were they kings? Again, we don't know. The best evidence suggests that they were astrologers or members of a priestly religious class in Persia called the Magi, which means skilled magicians and astrologers. In other words, they were people who were interested in the supernatural. What we do know is that they were looking for an answer to the big questions about life, the meaning of life. And somehow they had heard about the God of the Jews, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And there, people think that there were some Jewish exiles who were kind of dispersed all across the world. And maybe they talked with the wise men and talked about their God. And also the wise men maybe heard about a prophecy in Numbers 24 in the Old Testament, a book called Numbers, which seemed to suggest that the coming of the Savior or the King of the Jews would be connected to the sign in the stars. The Jews are waiting for this new king to redeem them, to make things better, to put everything that's wrong in the world right. So, as good astrologers, these men started looking for signs in the stars. It's kind of like today, when people look for answers in the supernatural. Maybe they check their horoscope, do meditation, like positive messages on social media. Maybe like the wise men, you've gone to see a health, self-help guru and read books on spirituality. You search and search and just want an answer to the question of why are we here? Who am I? And if you can relate to this struggle of searching, you have something in common with the wise men. You are looking for an answer. And then the wise men, in their searching, see something. They were looking for a sign, something in the sky, and then they see a special star. And they had faith this star held answers, so they followed it. They thought that this would be an answer to the question, so they left everything, invested a lot of their wealth on this long journey. It would have been through dangerous and wild lands, and even their destination, Israel, wouldn't be the friendliest place. The Jewish people, and you know, like the church today, they did not like astrologers. A Jewish saying went like this: whoever learns anything from a magus or a magi is worthy of death. They went on this uncertain trek, but despite all this, they believed that the answer they were looking for was on the path before them. And like the wise men, are you looking for answers for something? You may have questions about the meaning of life, questions about God. Maybe you wonder why there's so much suffering in the world if God is supposedly good. Or maybe you're wondering about, you know, science and creation, or maybe why there are so many religions out there. And you search for this. Search for an answer diligently, regardless of the cost. But let me ask you something. For your questions, whatever they are, do you ever wonder what it would really take to get an emotionally satisfying answer? What would it really take to satisfy you. I'll give you one example. Let's take the question of suffering. Do you ever want someone to just give you a powerful and definite answer in 10 words or less to answer and sell your question for once and for all? Often we assume that if we just knew the answer, it would just all work out. But here's a question for all of us who question. What if the answer to your deepest question isn't an answer? What if it's a person? The difference between Herod and the wise men was that one answered their questions with something and the other with someone. Maybe the answer to your deepest question is not something, but someone. If you look at suffering again, I got back from my hometown this morning, from Kinsella. I've asked this question before. Who knows it, but I'm not going to ask again because nobody does. It's a very small town, and 2 years ago, 30 people lived there, so it's a very close-knit community. And my grandparents, I never knew them. My grandparents are in the Philippines, and they don't speak English, but we laugh and wave and do sign language and stuff like that. And my father's grandparents died when he was 15 and 12. And one person who was like a grandpa to me was called Papa Jim. And we are in the Wild West in Kinsella. Like, he was a rodeo clown. Like a real rodeo clown. He had the makeup, he jumped in a barrel, he chased bulls. Like, he was awesome, and a great man of God too, a great country singer. And he actually had a funny farm where he had kids from the area come and just kind of pet his animals. And one day he was driving home and he had a trailer, he just sold some horses, and he was coming into the main road about 5 minutes from home. And then my classmate from high school just came from the Kinsella bar, was driving 150 kilometers down the highway. And as he was coming and turning in, my classmate lost control, and they were both instantly killed. And when things like that happen, you just have questions, don't you? Like, why did it happen? That's the most meaningless thing I've ever heard in my life. Why did two people just have to die like that? And they were actually, my classmate, that was his uncle. They were related. And so many questions come up. And I wonder, if I only knew the answer, maybe that'd be better. Maybe that would just make things better. But after you think about it, if someone could have produced an answer that powerful to make things right, to make things make sense, do you think we probably would have heard it already? It probably would have been there, been out there, and it probably wouldn't still stop the suffering. Let's look again to what happened to the Magi. When they found the star, they eventually found a child. It wasn't an answer, an idea, or a formula. It was a person, and they worshiped him. They found an answer, and it was Jesus. And they just worshiped. I loved the gifts they give to Jesus. Origen, old dead theologian, once said, the wise man brought gold as to a king, myrrh as to one who was mortal, and incense as to God. Gold is one of the most precious metals we have, fit for the true king of the Jews. Frankincense was used as incense in the temple of the Jews to worship God. And the Magi saw that this child is more than a boy, but it was God himself. And they worshiped him directly. And then there is myrrh. And I'll come back to the myrrh part a little later. But Jesus was someone. He was the answer to the wise men's question. And all they could do was worship him. It might not have erased all their doubts, all their questions, but Jesus was more than enough. And they were overjoyed. They were so happy and filled with life and that Christmas spirit that we always talk about. And from a very young age, most of us realize that often when we want answers, what we really want is a person. When you're five and you stub your toe, all you want is your mom to hug you. And also, when you're eight and your best friend starts being friends with the cool bullies and starts picking on you, your grandma's cookies just do wonders. And this Christmas season, do you really want gifts? Or you just have, or you just want the people? Are you happy to be around the people that you love? One of my deepest questions I asked is, what is my deepest desire? What do I really want in life? And my answer has always been to be loved and accepted. To be loved and accepted. And I always thought that, you know, I was loved and accepted by God. And I was, you know, loved and accepted by my family. And that was the answer to my question. And then I started dating my wife, Sarah. And then I realized that was not really what happened. I mentioned last time my journey of dating Sarah. It was kind of a hard thing for me to do. And she really opened my eyes to what my true answer was. When we started dating, the next morning I woke up and I was so scared. I was so scared that she put our relationship on Facebook. I was like, did she put it on Facebook? What? I hope not. What happened was, I was comfortable being that cool single guy. I was, you know, I was doing my own thing. I didn't need a girl. I was just doing my own thing. I was happy. And then the idea of somebody saying, I'm in a relationship with Jeremiah, really scared me. I'm like, what's going to happen? And I realized my acceptance wasn't from God or friends. My acceptance was, more the answer to my acceptance was this image of this cool guy which everybody liked. And the idea of dating somebody was a challenging that answer. I remember I was in the library and I was like, I'm gonna check the Facebook. But I was so scared too. I'm like, did she put it on there? I don't know. So I went to the library, I logged in, looked on the Facebook page, no notifications. Oh my goodness, thank you, Lord. Woo! And then boom, the Messenger app comes on. From Sarah, my dating. Oh, Sarah! Oh my goodness, I couldn't say no. I was like, okay, I gotta play it cool, play it cool. So I put it. Hi, how are you? She's like, I'm good. How are you? I'm great. And then she's like, should we put our relationship on Facebook? No! And I was freaking out, but I was like, okay. Yeah, of course. I gotta go. Bye. And I ran away. But she put the relationship on Facebook. And I think through, after I reflected on that, my answer to my question of being accepted and loved, I thought was a good answer, but it really was this image of being this cool guy. And my answer was something. To be accepted by people because of this cool single guy. But God was telling me, your answer shouldn't be something, but someone. You want to be accepted and loved? I'm giving you someone. I'm giving you Sarah. She loves you and she accepts you. And she wants to tell the whole world that on Facebook. That's way better than that something that you were chasing. That's better. Something, someone is better than something. And also, when you've had a season of loss in your life, chances are you're looking for more than just an answer. You're looking for a person. And sometimes when you're struggling, when that right person walks in the door at the right time, you just feel better. Kind of back to the story of Papa Jim. When I went to his funeral, his son, my uncle, we call him, not our real uncle, we call him uncle. We were sitting together. He was just asking, why? Why did this happen? Why did this happen? And I didn't have answers for him, but I just sat there and hugged him and cried with him. I think that was a more powerful answer than a long theological reason. What if this is the same with God? Maybe you think that everything will be resolved and all your answers are, when all your questions are answered, or at least the big question gets answered, if you just knew that God existed for sure, instantly, you would just know. There's a theologian named Frederick Buechner, and he kind of challenges the idea. He imagines, what if God one day, in the Milky Way, wrote in the stars, I really exist. Love God. And all the language of the world, everybody just saw it. Like, people would be like, whoa, that's crazy. There'd be a revival. Church would be filled. Everybody would be partying in the street. God exists. Yay. And then after the hype, imagine a little boy looks up the stars and says, okay, God exists. So what? What difference does that make? And he argues that after a while, people would just do what we've been doing all along. It wouldn't make a difference. He argues that we think that we want proof, but proof that we want is not the kind in the stars, way in the distance. That's not the kind of assurance we need. What we need to know is that God doesn't just exist up in the skies amongst the steely brightness of the stars, but there is a God right here in the thick of our day-to-day lives, who may not write messages in the heavens, but who in one way or another is trying to get a message through our blindness. As we move down here in this deep knee muck and misery of our world. And that's the answer the wise men found that night. Their answer in the stars led them to someone. Someone in the mick and the muck and the misery of our life. Not just something. They were looking for an answer, and they found that answer in the person Jesus, God with us. Jesus, who came down from heaven to be one of us, to experience what we experienced. And this is symbolized in the gift of the myrrh. Myrrh was used to make life on earth more pleasant. It was a perfume for bed and clothes, and it's also used for weddings, but it's also used to embalm people after they died. The wise men recognized that Jesus was also a mortal. Jesus is proof that God is with us. Jesus, the image of the invisible God, is worthy of our worship and power and glory. He became a human and experienced life to the fullest. He experienced economic stress as part of a working poor family. He got in trouble with his parents. He was betrayed by his best friends. He experienced great emotional and physical pain. He was tempted in every way to find his answers in something rather than someone, his heavenly Father. He even felt that God had abandoned him, and he died like one of us. He died for us, but also rose again as now is here with us by his Holy Spirit. God is with us. He understands and knows us, and he is with us even now. And maybe that's what you need to hear far more than an answer. You need to hear God is with us. God is with you. The Magi, they didn't find an idea. They didn't find a sign or an answer. They found something better, God with us. God with you at work. God with you doing your suffering and pain. God with you as you remember a loved one's passing. God with you in your doubts, in your addiction and sin you can't seem to overcome. God with you in your sadness. God with you trying to make sense of your success and the meaninglessness of life. God with you in the strangeness of love, in the financial tension, in the challenge and the joy. Not an idea, a sign, or an answer, but God with us. God with you in your heartbreak, in the breakup, and in the mess of family. My hope is that you don't leave this place knowing that God is with you. And that today he'd love a response from you, a decision that you too want to be with him. Let me just end with some applications. God is with us, and Jesus is the answer. God didn't just come to earth, he came for you. He came for the wise men, he came for the shepherds, Mary and Joseph, and for you personally. God saw that we were all looking for answers in something, in everything other than someone, God himself, who is with us in all our questions. He saw that our own answers are moving us towards death and murder and chaos like Herod. He knew that seeking after someone or something to answer our questions might cause us to sacrifice someone. So instead of that someone being us, God sent Jesus for us. He sent Jesus to be a sacrifice for us. He would take the death that we're heading towards. He experienced all the doubts and questions and pain that we face today. He knows our suffering. But also he rose from the dead and is truly alive today and is now with us in our questions, in our suffering, in our doubt. In Jesus, God is with us by his Holy Spirit. The answer to your deepest question is not something, but someone. Second, Jesus is the answer to our deepest questions. If you've never embraced Jesus as your Lord, as a Savior, what is your deepest answer? What are you searching for? What are the answers to your deepest questions? I encourage you not to settle on something, but someone, and consider that someone to be Jesus. Read the Christmas story again in the Bible and ask God to give you fresh eyes. Tradition holds that the wise men were actually so taken by Jesus that they became his followers. They did return to their homeland as new people. They found out God in Jesus was not up in the skies, but he is alive today and here with us. He wants to know you personally. He wants you to give you the joy of finding him. He knows everything about you. He understands exactly what you're going through, and he loves you. He came for you. That's what Christmas is all about. The answer to your deepest question isn't something, but someone. And if you are following Jesus, ask God, Lord, am I seeking something or someone? If you are going to church, ask yourself, am I in the community of God because of Jesus, because of something I get? Because the people, the food, the fun benefits? Is the answer to that question Jesus himself? Or is it a denomination, a set of beliefs, doctrines, practice? Is your answer a worship experience, or is it Jesus himself? Now, me struggling with workaholism, sometimes I find it very, very tough to answer that question well. Do I work because of Jesus and my love for him and my relationship with him, or do I work and do God's work, even in the church, because it gives me identity, it gives me purpose, it gives me meaning? I have to constantly ask myself that question to make sure that I'm doing it with and through Jesus. Do you celebrate Christmas because of Jesus or the things you get? Ask yourself that and confess to Jesus. Come to him and he will give you peace and joy. He is with you and he wants you to experience Christmas with fresh eyes. Today, God extends this invitation to you. You are not alone. God is with you. Maybe the answer you're looking for isn't an answer, a person. Someone, not something. And the good news of Christmas is that someone is here. Jesus is here. He was born on Christmas Day, but is alive today to be your answer.